Hashem is like to resume our learning Achshos Avreichem, the storm from the Pisatzna Chusi Agen Aleinu. You're on page Kuf Tesvav. It's a good way to start off this man. We're in the middle of talking about the Koyach of Negina, of singing, of song. Negina, when it's with a chabur, when it's together with people, with other Jews, and the koyach of negina, when a person is by himself. And this is part of the larger parak dealing with different methods of helping us in our hisrakshus and avodas Hashem. So on page Kuf Tesvav, the second paragraph, Lav Davke Benigin Shashriyas Halev. The Lav Davke Benigin Shashriyas Halev, Vagam Benigin Shal Simcha, Bekulam Tuchel Ashtam Shle Gilei HaNefesh, all different types of Negunim. Different types of Negunim for different Matzavim that we find ourselves in, the Negunim of Shashriyas Halev, and Negunim, meaning Negunim of, that help us break our hearts a little bit, and the feelings of tshuva and so on, and the Negunim of Simcha. Kulam tuchel l'shtamash l'giluy ha'nefesh. What they all share in common is that all these Negunim can be used l'giluy ha'nefesh to draw out the soul from within us. V'kach da'akos shel ha'chosin, gam medigin shel simcha, v'gam b'shas v'kidos l'fam v'boichahu, v'gam b'b'chiyusay sameach. And this is the way of a chosid, that whether it's a niggun of simcha, he says that also by a niggun of simcha, and even at a time when he's dancing with this niggun of simcha, it causes him to cry. He'll begin to cry. The crying is not a crying of sadness, it's a crying of hishtabchus ha-nefesh, an outpouring of the soul. The outpouring of the soul and the gilui ha-nefesh and the revelation of one's old soul that causes this emotionally jarring experience that brings the tears. So v'gam b'chiyusa samech, in his crying he's rejoicing as well. It's a simcha as well. It's this gewaldige simcha that a person feels, that he's able to experience a taste of his nefesh, that he's able to feel something of his nefesh. L'chein, therefore, k'shetiyah b'cheves chasidim b'shar shemenagnim. Therefore, if you're together with the chevra of the chasidim at a time of nigunim, gam betfila, I'm sorry, in betfila, whether it's a time of davening, besuda, or during a time of a tish, of a meal, abayif and acher, in a different time, teranein gam ata imayim, join them, sing together with them. Sing together with them. Lo rak lahashmiya kol b'chinas nosna lai b'kayla rak kedei lahaytzi, is not just to hear the sound nosna lai b'kayla, which means to enjoy the sound of the music, or that it's a beautiful niggun, not just for that. Rak kedei lahaytzi is nafshecho lahaloysa, that when a person is singing together with the other Yidden at a time of davening, a time of shalashudas, whatever it might be, but it shouldn't be because it's just because it's pleasant, it's nice, that's also good, but the ikar is rakedei lahaytzi es nafshecha, that one should begin to sing with the tachlis, with the hope, with the tefillah, with the purpose of being of lahaytzi es nafshecha, to draw out the nefesh ulahaloysa, and to lift it up. B'chinas vayhi kenagen hamenagen v'atihi alav yad Hashem. Like it says by Shaul HaMelech, by David Malka Mashiach, vayhi kenagen hamenagen v'atihi alav yad Hashem, that in order, we know that the way it was of the Nevi'im and the Ba'alei Ruach HaKadosh, that in order to bring out the Ruach HaKadosh, in order to awaken the koiches of Ruach HaKodesh, it was v'hikin nagin ha-menagin v'tihil of Yad Hashem, that through the negina, and with that intention, the nigin was being heard, and they would listen to the negunim in order to bring out the Ruach HaKodesh. So Vehi Kenagin HaManagin V'Ti'il of Yad Hashem. And from the beginning we've been learning in the Pizetzin and all of his Svarim that every Jew, Lai Navihu, Ben Navihu, Lai Navihim Hain, B'nei Navihim Hain, that every single Jew has in him a Bechina of Ruach HaKodesh. He's a Ben Navi, which means that he has, like a Ben Torah, it means somebody who's attached to Torah. Doesn't mean that he's a child of people who learn Torah. It means he's a Ben Torah. It means that he himself is deeply attached to learning. So too, every Jew, like Nevi'im Haim, B'nei Nevi'im Haim, every Jew is a Ben Navi. And even though now the highest levels of Nevuah, of course, are hidden from us, nevertheless, there are different levels of Gilui HaNefesh that we've been talking about, of revealing one's Nefesh. And when a person is singing a niggun, Vahi Kenagin Mahamanagin V'Tiyilov, Yad Hashem is the most powerful way, one of the most powerful ways that we have for Tiyilov Yad Hashem, to bring out the Koyach of B'nai Nevi'im from within us. So therefore, when a person sings the niggun, when he's sitting there and he's dancing, and he has in mind that this niggun, that through this niggun, that somehow that bechina of b'nei hanavim, that bechina that he has within him of ruach hakodesh, of gilui hanefesh, of dveikus b'Hashem, that it should be brought out, and a person begins to sing together with the others, thinking of these words, Vatihi alav Yad Hashem, Vahi Kenagin Hamanagin, Vatihi alav Yad Hashem, and to think of those words and to begin singing with the others, then the Rebbe says that Min Nigin HaChupish Mizabik Zachosna Vakala V'Daylemeven. That moment is like a Nigin of the Chupa that's joining together the Chosna Kala. Could be you're 75 years old and it's your 50th wedding anniversary, but at that moment that you're singing the niggun, and you have this thought of the niggun and the vatiyah of Yad Hashem, that it's in a certain way that it's a bechina of the zivug that's taking place between the chasn kala standing under the chuppah. The chasn is, of course, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the kala is Knesset Yisrael, the shechina. And you, as being one of Knesset Yisrael, and sharing that neshama that you have with all of Knesset Yisrael, so the yichud that takes place, that joining together that takes place at the time of the negina, it's like a negin by the chuppah of the zivug of your chuppah, the zivug of the chasn and kala, that joins together the chasn and kala. And it's lav davka when you're together with a bunch of the other guys, b'shoshim and agnim, when everybody's singing and it's a big thing, everybody's singing together. The koyach of a niggun. See, one of the things now is that everybody got so used to listening to other people sing. You didn't have in the old days. They had bands, they had klezmers, but it's not like you could just turn one on in your house. Those, you know, even in the last tkufa, when they already had phonographs, it's not like they had negunim, recorded on records, or you'd be able to sit in your house and to whistle out the window, and all of a sudden you'd get a bunch of guys and everybody would start to sing negunim. So nowadays, everybody walks. Everybody has tape recorders already. That's already only very, very, very outdated. Ancient people have tape recorders. Everybody else has these machinkas, and the person doesn't. A person can have now. He puts on one iPod. He can have 25,000 negunim, and he can switch from one niggun to the other. He just goes with and he's going from one niggun to the other. He sits in the car. And it's a CD, and it goes one. He doesn't like that. Two. He listens for 3 seconds. Three. Okay, that's nice. And I'm talking about listening to negunim of kedusha. I'm not talking about listening to the hip hop or whatever. The negunim of kedusha. But a person that could just listen his whole life to other people singing. Listen, you go to a person goes to chasna, and a person goes to special suddas or something. But we're much, much more passive, and we don't and we rely for his iris. Very often we rely on other people singing. Which is better than not listening to anything of kedusha, but But sof kol sof, what the Rebbe is saying is that not only when you're together with other people, when you're by yourself in your house, which now really most people, if they have a hergish for a niggin, not Shabbos Yotiv, but during the week, if they have a need for something for a little service, so they'll put on a good tape. They'll listen to a good tape, or they'll close their eyes and put on their headphones and listen to whatever it is to a niggin. Which is a good thing, but what's even better is that the person himself starts to sit when he's by himself to use the koyach of nagida. This is something that by Jews bechlal, by the chassidim befrat, is something which is a trademark of the chassidim, is that, you know, to catch a chassid sitting by himself, or a yid sitting by himself and singing a nagida with his slavas and his strakshas, which now it's a question of having somebody else listening to somebody else on a tape that was recorded in the studio, that even by a very chashiv baal nagida, it's hard that it should be with his slavas, with the vekas, at least of a person. Sometimes you have the recording, so a recording wasn't the studio, but something like a live recording of something where there was nagunim and so on. It's maybe better. But a person sitting by himself, when you feel that you have a kayach for that, a cheshev for that, to begin to sing. And you don't have to start screaming out bekailas to get everybody in the house, you know, upset or worried about you or something. There was such a thing, a person, one of the mashgichim from the Bali Musa, I just can't remember right now who it was. So Rosh Hashiva Mashgiach that he couldn't. Oh yeah, it was the Torah Avram. Torah Avram, Rabbi Avram Guzinski Schus Ayenolino, so a very very big tzaddik from Slobodka. So there was a he was in Warsaw. He had to be in Warsaw. There was something very very important. I don't know, some health thing with his wife. He had to be in Warsaw, and he stayed in somebody's house there in Warsaw, and the people that were downstairs, so they heard at night that Rabbi Avram was upstairs, and he was pounding away on the floor. They heard, like, you know, dancing in the house, and in the morning they asked him what was going on over there. So he said that back in Slobodka last night, in Slobodka there was a Talmud of his that had a chasna. There was a chasna in Slobodka, and he couldn't be at the chasna, but he wanted to be mistatif in the rikudim. He wanted to dance for the chasna, and he wanted to be part of the simcha. So he was dancing, not for 10 minutes, for a long time. He had a rikud upstairs, which is something that to us it sounds like it's odd, but it was a very natural thing for Bali Avaida, to even when you're by yourself, when a person is by himself, to join together and with others, and to be mishtatif in the nagunim of other Jews, and it doesn't have to be. Looks like Bekailus. We once learned years ago a piece from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman talks about screaming out at the top of your lungs without making a sound. That a person inside of himself, first person able to sing quietly, but inside of himself he's screaming. It doesn't have to be. And if that tzarech looks like bekailus, could be a quiet nigun. Keish misha menagin rak hamaya balachash. Bekailu nishma b'marim. There's a person who has the ability to sing very very quietly, but the voice is very very much heard in shemaim. It makes a loud noise in shemaim. There are other people who make loud noises, right? Now the chasna is you can't talk to the person who's next to you. What? Every time I'm at a chasna, I come home, I can't talk for the next 3 days, because you're just trying to, you know, somebody's asking, how are you? What? And they say, oh, fine! And because they're banging away, the bandit standing over there by the women's section is banging away you know, on the music, you can't even hear anything. So what the Rebbe is saying is sometimes there's music that's so loud it's not heard anywhere, and sometimes there's music that's so quiet that it's heard all the way in Shemayim. V'hameivin yovin. It's not, doesn't have to do with the with turning the volume up or turning the volume down. Nowadays, somebody wants to make a chasna as a shab, so they'll say, "Would you like a how many you want in the band? 70, 80 in the, you know, how many people you want in the band?" Right? So then they say, "No, just 3 or 4 guys. That's good." He says, "No, that's not good because they're not going to hear that because it's a big hall." Every hall, even if you make it in here, they'd say the same thing. It's a big hall, and you want everybody to really, really enjoy themselves. So you really need 10. You think you need 10 people? You need 10 people for the same price? No, it's not the same price, but you need 10. You need 10 people. 4 people can't, with all the electricity and all that stuff, and those big. What's it called? The amplifiers. It's not gonna. No. You have, how many people you have the chasna? 20? No, you need amplifiers. You need more than amplifiers. You need a couple more guys. You need a minion. And that's going to make all your guests so much happier. Maybe you're the type that you don't want your people to be happy. But if you're the kind of person that wants other Jews to be happy, so then you'll get 10 guys in the band. Of course, it's very much I'm just joking, it's an exaggeration, just like a little bit of an exaggeration. But the idea that you have to have very, 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 very loud in order that there should be simcha, that's all the direct result of the shidchias, the shallowness of our generation, the complete embarrassing and total shallowness of our generation, that there has to be other people making such noise with the machines and the amplifiers and everything, so that maybe you'll be able to get people to dance a little bit, as opposed to a niggin that's a pneumistic niggin. That it would be, if it would just, all of that would disappear, and there'd just be somebody with a violin like in the old days, and people who really love the chasna kala, and want to be mesamech the chasna kala, and instead of relying upon the sounds that are being produced by machines, they would make their own sounds for the chasna kala. Which nowadays the music is of such a type, the noise and all that goes on, that you just stand there, you know, you could stand there at the chasna, and everybody's shuffling around in that circle, right? Everybody's just shuffling around in that circle, and it seems like there's a gewaldige simcha taking place. I'm not talking about the bochum, you know, the friends that Baruch Hashem, the friends put in all of the koiches. I'm talking about the hamayin am, the simcha. So they're playing that thing, and it sounds like there's a big simcha going on, because the job of the band is to reproduce or to create a simcha, so everybody could just shuffle around walking like, you know, without much simcha. Everybody's happy, of course, with chasna kala, but without really being mishtatif in the simcha, because the band is happy. The band is happy. Of course, they're happy. They're getting paid per hour, and they're playing. And everybody else is just shuffling around, walking around. Masha'ani Kane, when it comes to Simchas Torah, right? Simchas Torah, if you're not in it, if you're not working hard at Simchas Torah, so then it's not going to be a Simchas Torah. It's not going to be. Simchas Torah, you have to, Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, you know that you have to sing, and you have to be mishtatif, and you have to try to dance, or else it's not Simchas Torah. But whenever they have the others who are singing, the bands, so then you don't have to really be, you just have to go along a little bit, but they're making so much sound, so much like a simcha, that you don't really have to be mesemech the chasna kala yourself, you just walk around. So what the Rebbe is saying is, kiyesh misha menagin rak hamoya balachashva, there is such a thing where the sound is a quiet sound, where it's not a loud noise, it's a quiet sound, but v'kailai nishma b'mar. But the voice of that person who's singing quietly is heard all the way in Shemaim. It's a very, very loud voice. It's misofa el matzofa, even though he's singing quietly. It's the same thing when a person is by himself. In the house, he's learning. He feels the distractions. Because you're in the Bais Medrash. You know, the Bais Medrash, you have to be careful. You know, I'm sure some of you have been in situations where, for whatever reason, it was you and like 3 other people that are singing the Bais Medrash, and you have one of the guys there is like an opera singer, right? and you're trying to learn and you can't learn because there's some guy that's sitting like in the back of this medrash that, you know, has his yarmulke thing and like this, and he's singing and digging. He's not learning that much, or maybe he's a little bit learning, but it's like in this with a really kailas of rakim. I can't imitate it, because anybody that's been in yeshiva knows that in that matziv you don't know what to do, because you're happy for the guy because he's happy and he's singing and digging. On the other hand, it only works if like there are 100 guys and people and it's loud noise of learning and the people are singing a little bit. But when you sing by yourself and there's one guy that starts belting it out, so that's it's very inconsiderate thing. It's hard for people to learn like that. But I mean, you know, you don't want to stop the guy because so you try to concentrate, and it's hard to concentrate when there's when the base medrash is sort of empty and there's just the Baal Nigun is there. So you should think of that to be considerate. If you're in that situation and you like to do that, it's a nice thing. But be considerate, because if it's a big base medrash and it's empty and there's three guys and you start to sing, then it means the other two guys not able to learn. So you should try to keep that in mind. So then also, if you have a cheshek for nagina, you could quietly, you sing, you hum a nigin and you try quietly, that it could be loud without bothering other people. It says, gam, the paragraph on the bottom, gam ha-hisrag sh'ein arum lagamrei. He says that there's a hisrakshus that's not just a pure, when a person doesn't just have a pure hisrakshus, an emotion, a feeling, lehagosha levada, afloy bislapshus verotzen lasas oy lagila ezadover, rak simcha tugim ezadover sh'ovar alecha. Loy shel mitzvah loy lehepech mitayva, rak me'ezin yishavashus sh'ovar alecha. He says, there's a type of hisrakshus that Rabbi talks about now. There's a type of hisrakshus where it's not clear, that it's connected to this strong emotion that you're feeling. Oftentimes we just have emotions out of nowhere. The person can have an emotion that's not connected to some great thing like a chasna or some happy thing, or it's not connected to something like that is with shvius alev or something that, but. Something bad, or the person has an emotion that's just a strong feeling that he has. Lo yishal mitzvah, lo yilhebech mitayva. It's not that. Rak me'ezin inyin shavashus sh'av alecha. Rak me'ezin inyin shavashus sh'av alecha. That a person doesn't know. He's just he has an emotion, a feeling. Lo yigia rabba tuchel asakin k'may b'esrakshus stonis. He says that it's a little bit it's hard to understand exactly how the Rebbe, how the words fit in over here. He's saying, "Lo yigia rabba tuchel asakin k'may b'esrakshus stonis." You'll see. He explains as he goes along; it becomes clear. He says, "Rikshe nafshcha sheluch simcha daiga b'divrei olam anoigim lecha oisem matzum tachiv." He says that the rikshe nefesh, the emotions that a person feels, that there's some simcha adaiga, not from anything, that's tam just come upon a person, or not from something big or something great, but from the regular, everyday divrei olam, the divrei olam hanagim lecha. It was a person in the course of a regular day. I'm not talking about some sort of a great simcha, or something, God forbid, something terrible happens, or we're not talking about, or the person doesn't know at all and he just has an emotion, but the Rikshe Nafshi says, Ashaluchas simcha adaige b'divrei oil hanagim lechem. Things, they're a regular day, on a regular day, and there are small little things that could cause a person to feel some happiness, small little things, meaning in divrei reshus, not the simcha shel mitzvah. I'm not talking about that like a chasna or an avodas Hashem, but there are little things in the course of a day that may make you happy. If you're zeichet to have children, that's something that the child does and it makes you feel happy, or there's something that happened at work and it was a good thing that it worked out, something with the parnasa. There are things in the course of a day that where it's not a simcha shel mitzvah, but there's a regular type of little simcha that a person experiences in the course of a day. Or there are daigas, there are worries that a person has with divya olam. Not, God forbid, anything horrible, but everyday concerns and worries that affect you. So the Rebbe says that even when it comes to these things, that a person has a hisrakshus that comes from the everyday little things of joy and the little things of worry and concern or sadness that a person experiences during the day. Even these, the Rebbe says, that a person can work on expanding the hisrakshus and revealing the nefesh. It's true that a person has a strong emotion, then it's easier. But these are these softer experiences of emotion that a person has in a regular day. So what does a person do? The Rebbe says, "Oysem ba'atzmam tarchi v'sizdabe behem l'Hashem." You can expand these little moments, these little emotional moments. You could that come from other things, from divrei rishus. Not from a mitzvah, not God forbid that you're upset or worried or broken hearted about an aveira. Things divrei rishus, regular things in life that are not a mitzvah, not an aveira, stam. But sof kol sof, you have an, there's an emotion that you're feeling. There's something that you're feeling. So the Rebbe says that, and we spoke about this so many times because the Rebbe comes back to this over and over, that sof kol sof, what's happening at that moment is there's a little bit of a gilui hanefesh. You're feeling a feeling of ahava, of a little bit of feeling of ahava because you see a child doing something cute and it makes you happy, whatever it might be. There are all different things like that in the course of a day. So it means that there's a gilui hanefesh. At that moment, there's something of your nefesh that's being experienced. So therefore, the Rebbe says, "Eisem ba'atzam tarchiv." You could expand them. You could strengthen the emotion. Eisem ba'atzam tarchiv u'sedaber behem l'Hashem, and use it as an opportunity, as we've learned many times before. Use it as an opportunity to speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you see that, and you'll see that when you do that, if you're feeling a little bit that emotion, for whatever it is, and you take the opportunity to say a kapitel tehillim, to take for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, tehillim that you know by heart, or to sing a niggun that is very meaningful to you, instead of just letting that moment pass, you take that moment and you expand the moment. He says, you'll see that if you use that as an opportunity to daven and so on, that you will see that your nefesh will rise to a feeling of kedusha, a structures of kedusha, that the emotion won't be stam an emotion, oh my kid is cute, or I'm happy to be married, or I made a couple of extra dollars, but or if it's something that you're worried about and nervous about, and you say a different kapitel tehillim about bitachon and Hashem and trusting in Hashem and so on, or a niggun that's a niggun of bitachon or hisayrus. So then the Rebbe says that you'll see that instead of it being just a parva moment in life, a moment of just a little bit of an emotion for this, something good or something not so good, so instead your nefesh will be able to rise and experience the hisrakshus of kedusha. Ki b'isha Yisraeli, because this is the site of the entire sefer. There really is nothing parva inside of a Jew. It just seems like that. It's ki b'isha Yisraeli gam l'chol min hisrakshus. Any hisrakshus that a Jew has, any time that a Jew has any hisrakshus, ki b'isha Yisraeli gam l'chol min hisrakshus. Afilu shal mischa, even if it's hisrakshus when it comes to something in parnasa that you get excited about. Yushar and yoni haguf, or any hisrakshus the person has from anything of this world, anything that's from the physical world. Hein shal shvius alev, whether it's a hisrakshus of feeling very broken hearted or upset. Hein shal simcha, or there's an experience, an emotion of joy over something of the world. Yesh boi tzad gilui hanefesh. It's not stam. It's not like lahavdil with a guy. Anytime a Jew experiences an emotion, it's not stam. When a Jew experiences emotion, it's a hisgalus and nefesh, and it's the hisgalus of the nefesh of a Jew. So when a person's all worked up about something, he's getting all, or he's getting all, you know, you'll have a person that, let's say at work there's a big meeting and he has to make a presentation, and he's been preparing for this presentation to make to these potential clients, and he's working on this presentation for, you know, for a couple of weeks, and when he makes it, it's impassioned and it's with all kinds of emotions, and he's trying to convey that point to these clients. So even though that passion that is being expressed in his presentation is just for the purpose, it seems to him, is just for the purpose, in his mind it's purely for the purpose of trying to get a promotion or trying to get these clients and try to make more money. So it seems to be something which is totally, totally of this world. But the emes is that if the person finds himself getting into it and getting emotional and so on and getting worked up, so then it's a gilui nefesh. It's not stam. Because every time that a Jew feels strongly about something, whether it's something good or something not good, but he feels strongly, either strong feelings of joy or strong feelings of anger or worry or whatever it might be, any feeling is a gilui hanefesh. It's not stam. In a Jew, it's a gilui hanefesh. It means that there's something of his nefesh that is crawling out, that's being revealed, and therefore it's an opportunity to expand and to channel those emotions into Dvarim Shebekedusha, and that it could become, instead of it being something which is stam, it could be something which is an opportunity to be connected to Hashem Yisbarach. That's why he says, "Yesh by tzad gilui hanefesh, rak shemachusu ubelavush shel tzar chayil mazeh." There's a gilui hanefesh; it's the soul that's being revealed, except it's covered in the levushim of something of this world. So that feeling that the person has of happiness or something with the family or with parnasa, or that he's upset about something that's going, any of these things are all levushim of tzar chayil mazeh. It's really a good. It's really that the nefesh is being revealed. It's just that the nefesh is covered. It's mechusa under the levush of tzar chayil mazeh, of the needs of this world. Therefore, you have to use that shas hakoyshe. You have to use the shas hakoyshe. Imagine you have a person that in shul that doesn't have any feelings, and he sits there in shul by davening, and he doesn't feel anything. He doesn't feel like davening. He doesn't get involved in davening. God forbid, he even starts talking. But when it comes to other things, you see, he's an emotional person. When he's with his kids and these other places, he's an emotional person. So the Rebbe is saying is that we learned from the tzaddikim that one of the strongest ways to cross over from the passionate, being the passionate father who loves his kids, who loves his family, to being a passionate Oyved Hashem, that there's a relatively simple way to cross over. I mean, be'etzem, the person is an emotional person. He's an emotional person. The problem is that when he's in shul, he doesn't feel anything, but he's emotional about other things. So the way to cross over, if you want, obviously the person has to be have the rutzen to do this. But a person has the rutzen to do this, so he sees that when he's in the place where he's supposed to talk to Hashem, he doesn't feel anything. When he's other places, you know, he feels something. And he can have a guy that he's standing in Yankee Stadium hollering at the top of his lungs. And when he's in shul, the guy next to him, his son Balchuba, is diving a little bit too loud. He says, "Can you please go someplace else? You're bothering me. I'm trying to have a conversation." But when he's in Yankee Stadium, you know, he's standing on his shag and he's screaming, Derek! You know, people screaming like, you know, the Shugoyim. The guy is screaming top of his lungs, the Yankees, whatever, it's the championship, the Chveis. And the guy screams top of his lungs. See, here you have a person, he's able to, you see that he's a Balkishran. He's able to, he gets worked up over, you know, the guys, he gets worked up over the ball game. But when he's in shul, nothing. Doesn't feel anything. So a person makes a cheshbon nefesh, and he would like to cross over. He says, I see that I'm a person, that I'm an emotional person. But when it comes to shul, when it comes to avodah, then I don't have that. I'm empty. So he's making a very, very big mistake. This is a person. If he would be a cold person, God forbid, who even during the ninth inning of the World Series, just sits there. His daughter's chumash play, and he sits there the whole time, looking at the watch, and he's not interested in his daughter's chumash play. That's a very much, 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 much harder. I mean, to deal with that, that's a serious problem. But if you have a yid, then he's a warm, emotional Jew. Most yidden are like that. So he gets emotional about many, many things in life, and he gets emotional about many things. If this person has a rotzen to be emotional about davening too, so it's a simple eitzah that the Rebbe is giving, and it's an eitzah that's from all the tzaddikim of how to carry over the emotions into avodas Hashem. And the Torah says, don't wait for it to happen to you in shul. What are you going to do? You sit there in the shul and listen to old recordings of World Series and feel like you're back in the stadium or something? That's not what you do. Because even the emotions that you felt at the stadium is a gilui ha-nefesh, and the emotions that a person felt, whatever it was, they're all giluyim of the nefesh. So the Torah says the idea is not to bring in something from outside into the place of Kedusha. The Torah is that when you're outside, let's say, and you are having some experience of some simcha, the joy, let's say, with the family or whatever else it might be, so then it means going for 2-3 minutes on the side. Nobody should see you, so that it should be something which people start to ask you about and talk about. But a personal, it could even when you're thinking about the joy that you had a little while ago, but especially when if you're able to take off a minute, 2 minutes, and you go on the side and you say some tilim. But a capital tilm that corresponds to that emotion that you're feeling, right? That corresponds. So it's an emotion of joy. So you say capital tilm of simcha. A person has to develop some bekiyas and tilm. But to say your own words. Diburim that Hashem is brought that you that to say. But instead of allowing that emotion to remain, just the power of emotion over something nice in life, let's say a good thing, or God forbid, if it's a daiga that you have, you're worried about something. So you can become an obsessive person that just is always nervous and always anxious and worried and has all kinds of anxieties. But really, that's also gilui ha-nefesh of a Jew. That's also the nefesh being revealed. So instead of allowing it, instead of just remaining something like that, you take the opportunity to say kapital tilami or something like that, and you'll find that by doing that, that you begin to associate his rakshas with Hashem Isbar. You never did that in your life. The only time you ever had his rakshas was for family or for a ball game or for parnosa. Then you get a little passionate and excited about all these things. You never experienced his rakshas in learning and in davening. Your rakshas is only for things of the world. I'm not talking about God forbid dvarim shalissa, aveyus. Things that are not aveyus, things that are just done. So, person, you never saw yourself as someone that's capable of feeling any emotion for davening, but you would like to. So, the way to begin to work on that is that when you're emotional about other things, daven. Then you begin to make a shidduch between your emotions and your avodas Hashem, because you're a person that's capable of feelings. You're capable of feeling strongly about things. You have people that they can't in shul, there's nothing, but they watch a movie or something sad, a movie, and they start to cry. And they're watching something. I'm not even talking about a documentary. I understand there's something that's actual footage of things that are going on that make a person sad, God forbid. Something, it's a soul, and you see things and pictures that make you sad. Talking about a person that's watching a movie means a movie is that's being made in a studio and the people are acting, and you see that you could watch this movie and you start crying. I remember when I was a kid, and sometimes I would go with my sister to Union Turnpike, and there was a movie, and it was always a big busha. My sister was always like howling, crying, anything. Like, it's just very emotional. So like there's something in the movie, and I remember, like, a lot of times I would just like quietly get up and go to another seat, because my sister was making, was going crazy over something, like, you know, like somebody like died in the movie, and my sister's like, it was, she was like, she was falling apart. And then, you know, and then sometimes, like, you know, so you, the guy's not supposed to be like that, but sometimes I can say really upsetting things, so you feel yourself like starting to get, you know, starting to get worked up, and that's not a good thing. But what is that? That's somebody in a studio, a couple of mishchosim who have no feelings at all for anything that they're showing, that they're acting. It doesn't mean anything, and the person has such a distractions. It's so powerful. Films and movies are powerful, powerful. You're reading a person's reading a book. He's reading a novel. It never was, never happened. Somebody wrote some book about two people that never existed, right? And he's reading this thing and something, and it starts to get all worked up. See, you have the ability to feel emotions. You're an emotional person. You're an emotional person. The problem is that those emotions are never associated with Avodas Hashem. It has to do with movies and with novels and things like that. You got so used to that growing up and over the years that the hisrakshus, that's always connected to things. We're not even talking about, God forbid, something that's a movie, a bad movie, or a book that's not good. But whatever it is, the emotions are not connected to Avodas Hashem. So the same person that's crying over a novel or over a movie, he could be sitting by Nisan HaTaykif, and it doesn't get to him. He could be sitting by Nisan HaTaykif, it doesn't move him at all. So he sees himself as being, God forbid, a cold, lifeless person. It's not true. We understand he's like all of us, we're brought up in a very, very magushim dika world, a very, very chumis dika physical world. That's how we're raised, and we're very far from kedusha because of all the things that we'll talk about more a little bit when we get by Rav Kook, all the things that we've seen that are impure that have dulled our sense of kedusha. So we have to find a way to come to kedusha through this world, because this world we're very familiar with. The physical world, the world of divrei rishus, I'm not talking about avayos, but the physical world, like when something is being, when you're watching, if a person is watching a movie and it's portraying some sad thing, you know, there's this sweet little girl in the movie that came down with some machla and she's dying, and the person just starts to cry, whatever. So those are things that we could, that all of us can relate to. Everybody could relate to. So they could be sitting in the movie theater, and there's a Jew watching this sad movie, and Lahavdil, next to the Jew there's a guy, and the two of them are crying. The Jew and the guy, Lahavdil, are passing tissues to each other, right, in the movie theater. There's a big difference, because the Jew that's crying, it's a gilui of the nefesh of a Jew, but it's just over something dumb. But it's the gilui over the, it's the gilui hanefesh of a yid. It's a very chashuv thing. It's galus hanefesh. It's a chashuv thing. And it's very easy for an emotional person to have his galus hanefesh over some girl that's dying in the movie. It's an easy thing to have his galus hanefesh. Why? Because we're part of this world. We're very much, because we're living in the same world as the guy. But the only thing is, I got to daven a little bit, I learned a little bit, but unfortunately, we're very makusha to this world. We're deeply attached to this world. So things of this world cause us to feel things. That's just how it is. That's very sad. But that's the matzav we're in, and there's no point in crying over that. The question is, what could you do with it? And how could you become a person that's able to pass tissues to somebody else in shul, from an insana taike, from a tefillah, as opposed to passing tissues in the movie theater? How could you become such a person? So Terry says you have to use the experiences that you have of gilui hanefesh, where the nefesh is revealed, with things of this world. Where a person is able to, obviously I'm not talking about, you know, to go to a movie thing, I'm just giving you as a marshal, but when a person feels some sort of an emotion, to be able to take that when it's still strong, when it's there, and to go on the side and to speak to the Baruch Shalom, to say some tillim that correspond, of course, to that emotion that he's feeling. That's what he's saying. You have to make use of that moment. It's a shas kaisha. It's a very, very good time. Because tam, you don't feel anything. A regular minute of the day, you're just busy. But here you're having hisrakshas. you're having hisraksis. You have parents that they're saying goodbye to their children, their children are going away, you have a child going away to learn in Eretz Yisrael for the year. And you have these, you know, these airport things going on. So there's a hisraksis that a person has, feeling a child going away. So it's a shas kosher that a person should use, a shas kosher. It sounds strange to us because it seems what does one thing have to do with the other, but we're wrong. It has everything to do with it because it's a gili hanefesh, and therefore he says shekishatargish min shel shvius aleif afilu mitzarche gufka. If you're feeling upset, a shvius aleif, a tzibrochen about something, even something, whatever, you lost money, you lost a job, a place, whatever it is. So teilech tekef atzid, the next page. He says go immediately on the side. Try to go immediately on the side, to go someplace. The tamar atzmach al ha-kaisel, to go by the wall. To say some kapitel tehillim, me'ein ha-ma'er shalcha. Therefore, everybody should have tehillim when he goes through different kapitel of tehillim, he should write in his tehillim next to that kapitel, next to that parak, what type of feeling this connects to, this kapitel. You write next to it. You have notes in your tehillim, and you become a person. And you write on the back of your tehillim, on the back flap of the tehillim, you write down that for simcha, parak this, parak that, for this, parak this, parak this. So you have a way through it to know quickly to get to that kapitel tehillim. You need bitachon. Not just an Elul or whatever, and you go to that, and you right away know where to turn to. You become a person that lives with Tehillim, like our grandparents and great grandparents did. That you're a person that lives in Tehillim, and you know where, you know your way around Tehillim.
This is why Yaakov says Shema
Yisrael. That's 100%. The Maral says that. If you look in the Gemara, that's what the Maral is saying. That's exactly what the Maral says. And a person says, according to you're worried about something, then you say kapitel tehillim lefida agoscha, according to that daiga. Now, if you're having a daiga over something, there are people that are giving you a hard time and causing you aggravation, so on. So David Malach had the kapitel tehillim. We have a kapitel tehillim like this. The person goes through. Actually, I told you once. Now I found it. I had this that one of my daughters brought home years ago. From Eretz Yisrael, there's this purple booklet, and I found it. I think I lent it to somebody, and I have to remember where it is. But there's a very good thing that there's this little purple booklet where it has. You look under Simcha, and it brings down Tehillim, Parak Tehillim, all the different Prokim and Tehillim that have in Yonim of Simcha, and Daiga, worries. There's all different. Things in Tehillim. If you're worried about somebody who hates you or somebody who's really giving you a hard time, then it's Baal Perek Gimel. Hashem Mo Rabut Sarai. Rabim Kom Malai. David Melech had that. David Melech had everything. Tehillim has in it every possible thing that we could feel. David Melech went through, so we should be able to. We should be able to say Tehillim. And we should be able, when we're going through those things, that we should be able to talk to the Baruch Shalom, that David Melech gave us a way to speak to Hashem. Besides, of course, one's own words, but David Melech gave us such an amazing thing called Tehillim. Hashem Morabut Sarai. Rabim Kom Malai. David Melech said, there's so many who are after me. Oh yeah, I have such sorrows. They're coming here. People are giving me such a hard time. I'm sinking. David Mel said, I'm sinking in the schmutz and the filth. I'm sinking. I'm drowning in filth. I'm drowning in filth. When you feel yourself in that. If you're scared, you're nervous. For everything, there's a kapitel tehillim. So you're having there's an emotion that you're having of a daiga, of this or that, and you try to find yourself in avodas Hashem. That's how you cross over from the street to shul. That's how the person who's emotional about a million other things becomes a person who's emotional about the Rabbanu Shalom. When you begin to associate emotions with the Rabbanu Shalom, when you make that connection, one of the most frightening things is that even that with these negunim, we were just talking about it the other day. I was in the car with one of my daughters, and she said there was a see danger, says, listen, Dad, this is really going to get you upset. You know, the children like to do that all different ways. So this is going to really get you upset, Dad. So she puts on, I don't want to say that, she told me the name of the person. I'm sure she's a very nice guy. So she puts on this tape, and it's and he was singing the words were Shavis Hashem L'Nagdi Samet. Those are the words Shavis Hashem L'Nagdi Samet, and the whole niggun was the opposite of that awareness of Shavis Hashem L'Nagdi Samet. The Etzem HaNiggun, the music, was so the opposite of Shavis Hashem L'Nagdi Tam. Then you have somebody, I don't know, Mehecha, I don't know where he took such a thing, or who made this niggun, that there's a Ben Bagbag, a Ben Bagbag, that is singing names of Tanoim, and making it into a hip hop catchy sound, a Ben Bagbag. Then on this tape, there was another, the words, I forgot the words, which pasuk was it? Oh, yeah, So there's some Yehesh Lomarab, they're singing Yehesh Lomarab. The words and the kapitel and the niggun, La Razeze, in other words, this person is listening to Gaishi music for the last 25 years. And he's trying to put out another one of these empty, meaningless tapes to make a couple of dollars. I have no time that the Jew wants to make some money. So when it comes to these things, first of all, psukim. So since most of these people are big amaratzim, so it's usually even the psukim are never pass shane, you know, any place. Only certain famous psukim. What do they do? From other nigunim that they heard from other, because they only know those nigunim. They only know psukim that they heard from other nigunim. It's not like they're learning treyasa. You understand? So the only thing they know is that, like, until shane, because maybe they go to shul Monday, Thursday, because they're nice people and everything. So they hear maybe till shane, or if it's from another, you know, from some other old song that they know, like Hine Kel Yeshua. So this guy knows the Yehesh Lomarab and Shemai. He knows those words. So what is he? He has a song that he's stealing from hip hop, from reggae, from all these different places. And he says, what should this be? Yehesh Lomarab. That's it. Yehesh Lomarab and Shemai. And he's got a niggun, and it's a bestseller. And all the little boys and girls are walking around Flatbush and Muncie and Barpak. Yehesh Lomarab. What's Yehesh Lomarab? That's Yehesh Lomarab and Shemai. It's the whole niggun is a chil Hashem. And Yehesh Lomarab is words of Kiddush Hashem. The whole niggun is a chil Hashem. It has nothing to do. If a person does, if it doesn't stim, if the feeling and the emotion, you see, that's the terrible avla. It's time for that. But that's the avla with this music. It's not just that it's Goyish music. The avla is that music is such an opportunity for gilui nefesh. So if you would make, like when we used to listen when we were growing up, when we listened, you know, to the rabbi's sons, or we listened in the old days to Reb Shmuel Brazil's Nagunim. In the old days, before there was a reggae, in the early years, and all of these, and we listened to Dveikas. So there was such, it stimmed, every niggin stimmed with the words. It was a shidduch. So you were able to have a hisirus in the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But when there's nothing, one thing has nothing to do with the other. So it's like a person who's feeling very, very happy, and he says that, you know, a capital tilim that's about Shvius HaLeil. It has nothing to do one with the other. So it doesn't bring to Avodas Hashem, to Dveikas Bashem, right?
It sounds to me, on a certain level, it's a chil Hashem, and they're totally opposites. Of course, I understand. But if someone finally gets excited about something, like you said before,
let it be about something Jewish.
No, if you finally got excited at the ball game or somewhere else, you should go off and say something Jewish, so you could start to have an association. So if somebody finally gets excited about something, and the guy is trying to make him think about something Jewish, so you could finally equate the two.
I think that's worse than the ball game. I think that hip hop Jewish song is worse than the ball game. Because he thinks that it's his rabbi. Because he know, when you're at the ball game, you know that emotion is not about anything with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. They're walking around singing Hey Shlomo Rabbi, and they think it's a Jewish thing. It's not. So at least with the ball game, it has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But here, you think that it has to do with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So it's part of that. It's a forgery.
Something. You want to try and attach the two.
Go better to get excited about the Yankees than to about that. Okay.